I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Show me the champion of light, I'll show you a herald of darkness. It's VGC, a video game podcast with me, Jordan Midler, Chris Skillion, and Andy Robinson. This week, we're getting a GTA 6 trailer next month, we're getting a Zelda movie, and we're getting sick of this horrible industry. But first, how are we doing, folks? Andy, it's been about 7 years since you've been on this broadcast. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, other than having to get up at 5:30 for the Sony results this morning, so I sound
anything
a little bit
fun?
Grudgy. No, they sold some consoles. I don't
really
know.
Oh, well done.
Made some money. Yeah.
Have they explained why the PS5 Slim looks like that yet? Have they apologized? Or
I don't know. I don't even remember what I wrote, to be honest.
You just go into
console sales up, profits down.
Chris, you get up at 5:30 every morning to shoot up. How are you?
I do indeed. You can't take the boy out of Coatbridge. I'm doing good. I'm getting annoyed at the new Chrome update this morning. Because it's changed the tabs, so the tabs don't sit at the very top of the screen anymore. And
oh, wow.
Because when I move my mouse to the top, it looks like I'm missing the tab, which is just going to annoy me for a while. But other than that...
That truly is the worst thing affecting the human race today.
Exactly. I don't know why it's not the top story in the BBC News this morning. It's clearly the worst thing that's happening.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal. This is the conclusion of the Showergate saga, the 3-week running Showergate podcast saga. Fourth plumber arrived, he got this big gun out, took like two shots into the drain, it cleared immediately, and he was like, yeah, none of the previous three guys checked for hair. Like, what? You're a
what,
plumber?
Yeah.
Surely the most normal thing to check in the world. I know I'm not blessed with...
That reminds me of when I had to sit and wait for 2 days for RAC to come and pick up my broken down car. It took three different people, yeah? Three different people. I drive an electric car. Three people. First guy turned up. Oh, you can't move it. It's electric. Next guy. All right, you have to get someone special. Next guy. All right, mate. Just try and move it. Oh, it won't move. Yeah, I know. That's why you were sent, mate. Oh, I better send another guy. Christ's sake.
Jesus.
And he was like, yeah, this is kind of on the list of things. You're meant to do this first. They just must have thought it can't possibly be that. It's like, mate, my partner has got mega long hair. I've got two dugs. Like, I know it wasn't me, but it's going to happen. And he was like, yeah, just put Mr. Muscle down it occasionally. So my long national nightmare is over. Let's get in to the headlines. Story number one. Don't panic. The first Grand Theft Auto 6 trailer will premiere next month. This is a quote from Rockstar on X. Next month marks the 25th anniversary of Rockstar Games, co-founder Sam Houser said in a statement. Thanks to the incredible support of our players worldwide, we've had the opportunity to create games we are truly passionate about. Without you, none of this would be possible, and we are so grateful to you for all sharing this journey with us. In 1998, Rockstar Games was founded on the idea that video games could become an essential to culture as any other form of entertainment, and we hope that we have created games you love in our efforts to be part of that evolution. We are very excited to let you know that in early December, we will release the first trailer for the next Grand Theft Auto. We look forward to many more years of sharing these experiences with you. Chris, when this went up, we had a bit of preemption that Jason Schreier said that he'd heard that the reveal was coming and he was working on something similar. But Chris, can you believe it? Our long national nightmare is over. We've caught and compromised to a permanent end, Sam Houser.
I'm glad we finally know what's coming. I'm not a fan of the statement.
Like, no,
I think, like, no, the, not the, up to your snuff, no.
No. They should have ran it past me first, Sam. I guess what people around our neck of the woods would call birthday card piss, but for most of it. And then, like, I get at the end of it, the trailer, like, okay, like, the trailer's coming, that's good. I saw people on Twitter, like, making a storm out of nothing because he said the next Grand Theft Auto instead of Grand Theft Auto 6.
Can you imagine?
Chinatown Wars 2.
Apple Arcade exclusive.
So they're just going to call it Grand Theft Auto 1 and do, like, a Mortal Kombat and, like, But, yeah, I'm glad it's finally coming. It's just like, it'd be nice to have, every time I get in a taxi, when you tell people we do games in Scotland and they always mention Grand Theft Auto all the time, it'd be nice for them to have a different game to talk about.
Oh, mate, my 7asides chat went absolutely mental. They were like, I saw the next GTA is coming out next month. And I was like, boys, it's the first trailer that's coming out. It's probably not going to be out until like 2025 at this point. And they're like, what? They used to come out like every 2 years, and I was like, don't get into it. It doesn't matter. Andy, you were squirreling about on this lineup with what you were hearing.
Yeah, I'm going to do the YouTuber insider thing.
Go for it.
Obviously, you guys know that I was working on this story anyway. Got scooped by bloody Jason Schreier, eh?
J-Dog.
So yeah, no, the word was on the street that this was coming, but obviously it's not something you really speculate about. I know, like, it was also the word on the internet as well, right? There was a lot of, like, speculating going on about some date a few weeks ago, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice to have another massive game to talk about, right?
The massive game.
Usually you get to this end of the year and it's like, oh, what's coming out next year? So it's nice to have another giant game to talk about. GTA is always fun as well. It's got, like, endless conjecture that can be kind of swirled around it. I mean, when we were on CVG, we literally had a weekly YouTube show where we just talked about GTA every week, and it was like one of our biggest things. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we'll be able to do what we did with the GTA 4 trailer. I remember when that came out on CVG, one of our tech guys, they had like a countdown clock, and one of the tech guys was able to like fiddle with it behind the scenes and get the trailer 5 minutes early.
Nice.
That's right.
I remember it was like, it's in Los Santos. Obviously, it was only, you know, 20 minutes later. It's only in part of Los Santos. But when you're in the news-breaking world,
it counts.
Well, I mean, this is a unique situation in that we've seen quite a lot of, like, we can pretty much pre-write a bit of the scar based on all the leaks. Like, we know where it's set, we know there's two protagonists, etc. and so on. I would just wonder how much of the trailer is going to be teaser, how much of it's just going to be, you think of the GTA 5 trailer where it's Michael being like, why did I move to this city? And then it showed a few characters and people saw one like black guy and were like, that's CJ is back in it. There's one black guy in this trailer.
It'll be that again. It'll be like a very, like, here's where it is. Here's a brief look at the two protagonists, if it is still two protagonists. Here's a bit of, I'm in this town because I want this. And then that'll be it. And it'll be like GTA 6 coming whenever the fuck we feel like it. I'm just more concerned that you've not started writing guides for it already. You need to get a move on.
I need to find all the pigeons, all the hidden packages, whatever that bullshit will be this time.
Oh, mate, don't. You're bringing back flashbacks. I reviewed GTA 4 and Rockstar had me locked literally in a dark room with a sofa for 3 days. So obviously I had to finish it. That sounds like a lot of time, but not for GTA. I had to finish it in 3 days in a dark room, like completely dark. Occasionally they just bring like some crisps in. There you go.
There's quite literally an achievement in GTA 4 called New York Minute for completing it in 30 hours. And that's meant to be like, if you just absolutely speed through the single player, you can complete it in 30 hours. So 3 days, like that's...
Yeah, it's just like, it's, you know, when it's like you play a game for that long, it's just burnt into your eyes. Like when you close it.
It's my life. I've got a library of games like that.
When you left the office and you started turning, did you turn like in a weird kind of the way that he does in the game?
I remember I gave it, I think I gave it 97, and Rockstar weren't happy.
It's comically
like, why is it not 100?
When I worked at the BBC and it was in the lead up to Red Dead, obviously the BBC produced that ridiculous Daniel Radcliffe project about the creation of Rockstar, and Rockstar had a pure mare on Twitter about it, so they hated the BBC for the longest time. On the lead up to Red Dead.
Hold a grudge to Rockstar.
Yeah. on the lead up to Red Dead 2, I was like, right, it's my mission to try and mend this fence at least somewhat, because we're going to need to cover Red Dead. Like, we have to sort this. So they sent up someone from London to talk to me, just talk to me about the game. And then eventually they were like, so do you want John Marston's jacket or anything like that? And I was like, no, we're just looking to like get access to the game. And they're like, oh yeah, don't worry about that, but do you want John Marston's jacket? In the end, we got the game like 3 days before it was.
Did you get the jacket?
Before the embargo.
Did you get the jacket?
No.
did you inform them that John Marston's not a real person? It's like there's like a Sherlock Holmes museum in London that's got like...
There was probably like a malicious punchline, wasn't there? They were waiting for him. Do you want it? Do you want it? No! Fuck off!
Tough. I remember when I was in London, someone said, I went to the Sherlock Holmes museum, it's got his real pipe. I was like, it wasn't real.
Yeah.
Who's pipe?
It's got the cane from Citizen Kane. Yeah, that was... I know of people in this industry that got the jacket, so I'm just saying, I clearly wasn't...
Covering Rockstar in those days was brilliant, when they actually used to make like games, more than one game a decade. Like I remember like visiting their offices, like their London office, quite frequently, like probably every month. You'd have like a Midnight Club and a Warriors and
Canis Edit.
Yeah, Bully, and you know, countless PSP spin-offs, and yeah, good days, good times.
I played the show.
Table tennis.
PSP GTAs. Oh, table tennis, what a game, man. It's gotten to the point now where there was like a massively viral TikTok last week being like, did you know that Rockstar made a table tennis game before Grand Theft Auto 4?
That's where you know your age. And like, I'd see that quite regularly, especially with like the 8-bit and 16-bit stuff. Yeah. I remember like a year ago, I was like, did you know in Super Mario Brothers you could hold start to continue? Like, yeah.
It's quite depressing. The Twitter trend at the moment with people like, what did you look like when GTA 5
10 years ago?
Like, people like some acting journalists are actual children, like in their photos. Yeah. Like my one's like, well, I was editing a fucking website.
Mine's just, I put mine up and it's just, it might as well just be the same face. It's like, this is what I look like when I was 30, this is what I look like when I was 40. It's not much different. Like that's just in the aging process. Some of them are actual like fetuses.
You know who started that trend?
Was it you?
Jordan James Fiddler. No, not even joking.
The old Teletubby baby himself.
I guarantee you it was.
To be fair, your one perplexed me massively. I was trying to work out the age. I was like, did you have like, surely you didn't walk around in a suit and like looking suave when you're 13?
I don't understand how you were Philip Seymour Hoffman and then it just suddenly turned into John Midler.
But aging looks like it's in the wrong direction.
Benjamin Button.
I think I was 17 in that photo. And we were, it was the done thing when we went to like people's 18th to wear suits. So every photo of me from that era has a suit.
It was like the early version of that Minions thing when everyone go to the Minions in a suit.
Yeah, exactly. It was like a 2004 Dave Bautista number, because I think I'm wearing like a denim shirt with like a completely mismatched jacket. Like it was 2013. It was a long time ago.
But regardless, Grand Theft Auto will be good.
Yeah, I bet it is. I bet it's good. I look for my prevailing.
No, but on that though, sorry to digress. That is a talking point that not many people are bringing up, is that this is a big challenge for them, this GTA, because they've lost a lot of key staff, right? I mean, the other Hauser's gone, who would have been key to kind of writing the game, to the tone of the game. Leslie Benzies, who was, you know, key to the direction of all of the modern GTAs, he's
gone. Benz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The radio dude, what's his name?
Laszlo.
Yeah, he's gone. Like, it's tonally, they're always spot on, right? The satire is perfect. Like, it's annoyingly good that they're able to nail the satire in GTA, nail the tone and the feel of the city. So that, you know, that's a legitimate concern to bring up now as well. Like, are they going to be able to nail it without these people? And also, they've got the other pressure on this one that they didn't have on any of the previous entries, that GTA Online is the biggest thing in the world. There's no way you make this game without thinking about GTA Online first. Like, this game's an MMO now. You know, it's not a single-player game. So
do they diverge it?
Does GTA I would imagine out? If the biggest entertainment property in the world, or one of them, you don't mess about.
Yeah.
I would imagine they're going to play it very, very safe in terms of the product's offering. Like, there's a single player game and you seamlessly kind of go online.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it was staggered, because it was staggered for the, well, I suppose that was the launch of online generally. So it was like,
yeah, I mean, that's standard practice now, right? They'll do that, and they'll have a £100 version where you get it 2 days early, blah, blah, blah.
With
blah.
A shark card.
They're going to milk the hell out of it. I mean, already the tweet, that tweet is like the biggest games tweet of all time I read yesterday, which is
It's also going to be, speaking of tweets, like, it's also launching in a totally different kind of social media landscape as well. And it's like the game always has been known for its kind of satire and stuff like that, but you know it's inevitable that you're going to get people saying GTA's gone woke and all this kind of stuff, because
GTA was always woke.
I know, that's the thing, is like it always.
But if they do it right, most of the characters in the game will be going woke.
Yeah,
yeah. So
you know, there's going to be a Joe Rogan on there and everything, right? It wouldn't even be surprised if Joe Rogan's in the game.
Yeah, but we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how perception has changed over time, because I would imagine the tone won't shift much from what it used to be, but people might perceive it differently because people are looking for different things to be offended by these days.
Yeah, it's kind of the problem that South Park faces now, and the fact that it's like it's left leaning, but obviously Trey and Matt are like well up for making fun of the left as well, so it falls into this category where people are like, oh, it's centrist, it's far right. It's like, to any normal person, like, it is so clearly aimed at what they're trying to like make fun of. I think GTA is just there's a lot to satirize.
It's got to be COVID. It's got to be. Yeah.
I mean, it's Trump. Like, there's not been a GTA since Trump, so there's a lot of
ground to cover.
Yeah. Hopefully, Laszlo's back and he's the president. That's the big review. The radio thing's another interesting kind of topic, because I wonder if they experimented with this a wee bit in GTA 5 where they added one or two stations, but I feel like that could be something that they do where they refresh the music, because the soundtracks to those games are always like so iconic. Like, the first time I ever heard Michael Jackson was playing Vice City, when Billie Jean comes on is like the first song.
That's so depressing.
I'm not even addressing that. Move on.
The first time I heard this giant slice of pop culture was in this video game.
When am I going to be listening to Michael Jackson?
I'm being funny. The first time we listened to Michael Jackson was when we opened our ears, turned on a television, or walked outside the house.
Yeah. I was born to the sound of Thriller. I Michael Jackson song, you know, you can look up what was number one on the day you were born, and it was, I can't remember, I think it might have been Beat It, Michael Jackson song was number one on the day I was born.
I'm pretty sure Wham was mine.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
I think mine was that. Like,
S Club said
that. I know, it was like Nicki Minaj.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was Unchained Melody, White Cliffs of Dover by Robson and Jerome, an absolute banger.
Oh my god.
Blow my whistle.
Yeah. Anyway, much more on GTA 6 as we have it. It was pointed out on Twitter, and I agree, I can't wait to see the logo, so we actually have something to put up on this website.
We're keeping up GTA 5 screenshots for GTA 6 stories, because there's literally, like, I was even nervous when you mocked up that logo yesterday, because I was like, someone somewhere is going to say, that's not the logo. So
it's literally a screenshot for like the Grove Street Games version of Vice City. Anyway, story number two, Nintendo is officially making a live-action Zelda film. The film will be produced by Shigeru Miyamoto, representative director and fellow of Nintendo, and veteran Hollywood producer Avi Arad, the former chief executive of Marvel Entertainment, producer of such bangers as Morbius. The film will be produced by Nintendo and Arad Productions, directed by Wes Ball, the director behind the Maze Runner trilogy, and next year's Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. The film will be co-financed by Nintendo and Sony Pictures Entertainment, with more than 50% financed by Nintendo. Quote, by producing visual content of Nintendo IP itself, Nintendo is creating new opportunities to have people from around the world access the world of entertainment, which Nintendo has built through different means apart from dedicated games consoles. By getting deeply involved in movie production, we aim to put smiles on everyone's faces through entertainment. Nintendo will continue its efforts to produce unique entertainment and deliver as many people as possible. Miyamoto said in a statement, "This is Miyamoto. I have been working on the live-action film of The Legend of Zelda for many years now with Avi Arad-san, who's produced many mega-hit films. I have asked Avi-san to produce this film with me, and we now officially started the development on the film with Nintendo itself heavily involved in the production. It will take time until completion, but I hope you look forward to seeing it." This is Andy Robinson. What do you think?
I am going to bet. So I don't like, it's a little bit underwhelming. Like, am I the only one? I mean, obviously, I'm a Nintendo fan of a certain age. So all of our affection for Nintendo comes from the fact that they're a toy company, basically, right? And they know this. They're Nintendo is brilliant because they kind of merge hardware and software, right? They create hardware in conjunction with software for these amazing digital physical toys. That's what they do. I don't give a shit about any of the stories in their games. Like, does anyone? Like, I mean, there's a weird crowd who probably into Zelda. You know,
let me get the Hyrule Historia out and tell you all about the three
despite the fact they very clearly and very openly just make it up as they go along to explain why you're using a Wii remote this time to waggle all over the shop. Like, it's a means to an end. So I thought that it was different with a Mario movie because clearly it was just going to be a bit of a spectacle, right? An animated film that was just a ton of fun, loads of nostalgia. You know, it wasn't a particularly great film on paper, but I really enjoyed it because it was just fun. Live action Zelda is a totally different proposition, right? Totally different proposition. I think they probably would have been, I would have been more excited if they were doing an animated thing that was like Wind Waker or Link's Awakening X.
Yeah.
And it was again, just a bit of fun. This, I mean, especially with the cast, the personnel behind it, the director's not particularly decorated. He's a Maze Runner guy, right? I really like, it's probably one of the things I dislike most about the Zelda games is that they try and shoehorn a story on, and they're becoming increasingly more like that, right? Now Monolith's more involved. They're very like Japan anime kind of leaning, most recent two, which is probably why I didn't enjoy them as much as everyone else. I wish they were more like Mario, where the story is just a means to an end. Like, it's a great adventure, and I don't really care what convoluted nonsense you've made up for why you're fighting Ganon again. The first couple of games, the story was the same, the premise was the same, and I don't think it needed to necessarily, for my interests, become more complicated than that. I mean, the spin-offs were nice, like, but again, it fed the gameplay, like Majora's Mask. Or you're somewhere else that fed the gameplay. So I just think they're going to come up with some, they're going to do a kind of a barely competent effort based on the personnel, based on some convoluted story I don't give a shit about. So yeah, that's how excited I am.
Okay, Mr. Rain, Mr. Sunshine, what do you think?
This is Scullion. I will watch it, obviously. I'm up for the idea of it, I think, more than the actual thing itself. It's like, again, I agree with Andy. I think animated would have been the way to go. I think that's partly the community's fault, because as soon as Mario came out, everyone started going, "Oh, well, they'll make a Zelda one next," as if they were ever going to do one with Illumination, who only know how to do wisecracks, and like Zelda doesn't kind of work with that. So if there was ever going to be a Zelda production, it was never going to be with Illumination, which is why Sony Pictures is involved. And also a lot of people going, "Nintendo working with Sony?" It's like, yeah, it's not the same.
Tears of the Kingdom is going to be on PS5.
I know, it's not like Insomniac's making it. But it's like, I don't know, live action, there's a lot of, that's a minefield, because like, he's going to have to talk in it. You're not going to get away with him not talking. which you might have got away with in an anime type movie, because he could just have like dumb faces going all the way through it, but he can't get away with that with live action. Someone's going to have to play him, and it's going to be someone who 75-80% of the internet doesn't want playing him, regardless of who it is. Is it going to be a remake of Ocarina or something, or is it going to be a completely new story, in which case are the people who take it too seriously going to lose their mind about how it fits in Nintendo's back of the fag packet timeline. every single element of it is going to be criticized too much, and I'm already bored. It's not even, nothing's been announced yet, and I'm already annoyed about people moaning about it, of which I'm one of them, ironically. It's just, it'll be fine. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not putting too much stock in it, because it's not going to be the Citizen Kane of video game movies. It's going to be a fun kind of, as long as it's better than Uncharted, I'll be happy.
Doesn't this one have to, like obviously Mario was a huge success, but what happens, Andy, if this one comes out and it's just like a kind of mid stumbling block, because Zelda ain't Mario?
I don't think it will particularly, you know, they might rethink doing live action again. I don't know. I mean, Zelda, you say Zelda isn't Mario, but it's still absolutely massive. Yeah. I mean, they've just brought out a game and sold 20 million copies in a matter of a few months. So I don't imagine it will flop, even if the film is particularly mediocre. I mean, it's clear why they've got kind of Sony involved and, you know, one of Sony's preferential directors involved, because Nintendo's priority with this stuff will be having control. They're funding more than half the projects. They want, just like the Mario movie, they will want creative control. They're producing, Miyamoto's producing. So that would be the number one for them, is protecting their IP. But you see what happens. You're seeing now with Star Wars, like what happens when that's your main priority, right? Is that then you take away any kind of creative control from people doing anything interesting. That's the disappointing thing for me, is that I imagine there's probably a whole bunch of really, really good directors out there who are massive Zelda fans, who would love to take on that project, but because they wouldn't be able to offer a similar brokering of the deal, they probably missed out.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. Like,
let me give you a fun headline here. Unless something changes in the future, here is your headline.
This is a Chris Scullion fun headline.
The Legend of Zelda will be available first on PlayStation, because PlayStation Plus added this new Sony Pictures Core app a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. And one of the kind of key features of this app is that it has an exclusivity period where all Sony Pictures movies appear on this app first before it gets released to other things. So unless the situation changes between now and then, basically when the Zelda movies had its theatrical run, the first place you'll be able to see it is on PlayStation consoles.
You know, Chris, I was ready to dismiss that nonsense as another Chris Scullion joint, but that's actually quite good. I like that.
Thanks very much.
I like how we're going to get community noted on X for that headline as soon as it goes up.
Well, I like how somebody's going to listen to this podcast and write the story that we're clearly not going to do.
Oh, yeah. No. No one would ever take stories from us without credit. Next story, slightly shift in tone. Embracer's Time Splitter studio Free Radical faces closure, sources have told VGC. For the past 6 months, Embracer have been carrying out restructuring program, which has already seen some game studios closed and some projects cancelled. This includes the closure of studios like Saints Row developer Volition and Campfire Cabal, while others have been reportedly put up for sale, such as the Borderlands maker Gearbox. According to people close to Free Radical Design, the Nottingham UK-based studio, is part of the evaluation, and the employees have now been notified that it could be closed. Andy, pick it up from here. You ferreted this out. What's going on with Free Radical?
Well, it's I've almost become desensitized to this now, which is obviously not great, because it's you know, it's quite maddening what's going on in the games industry this year, that, you know, we've slowly been swallowed up by, you know, corporations and consolidation, you know, which was turbocharged after the pandemic. And now you're seeing the results of that. I don't think there's hardly any companies that are not guilty of, you know, overexpanding, you know, last year and then correcting that again this year just to make their graph go up a little bit more. Yeah. Because, of course, you can't have the graph flat or slightly up. Yeah, it has to be very up. So they don't really give a toss about, you know, what they have to do to accomplish that. And, you know, what's going on at Embracer at the moment is one of the, you know, most kind of disappointing examples of that, where they allegedly had a deal fall through, a massive Saudi Arabia deal, allegedly. And now, because that's not happened, do you know, I mean, the sky's not falling in, but the graph has to go up. So therefore, everyone's for sale. And if no one buys them, we're getting rid of them.
that's pretty much the gist of it. You know, they've already closed Volition, the Saints Row developer. You know, allegedly nobody was interested in buying them. I mean, obviously the last Saints Row wasn't very well received. You know, the Gearbox, their biggest purchase is allegedly now back up for sale, according to report this year. So, you know, when this all happened and they said that they were kind of looking at, I don't know what their bullshit corporate word was, you know, reevaluating or restructuring.
Yeah.
My first concern was for Free Radical, because they were established 2 years ago by Deep Silver, who are under one of their many layers of brands, under PlayOn, which is also under Embracer.
Yeah.
They were established, and that was a real feel-good story, because Free Radical were, you know, a brilliant developer who, you know, spun off from the GoldenEye team at Rare, made Free Radical, the FPS games. They made Haze, which was their big flop for Ubisoft. And then they were working on Battlefield 3, Star Wars Battlefield 3, which was never announced. And quite unfairly, LucasArts at the time pulled the plug. And they had to close, which seemed really unfair. I mean, in the years since, this is like 2006, I think, in the years since, we've all seen leaked builds of that game, and it looked brilliant. Mm. Like, you could seamlessly travel from space to ground battles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but that was what the games industry was like then as well. Like, it was super volatile during that period when everyone was moving into the HD era and games were requiring more and more money. You saw loads of studios like that, independent studios, fold during that era, because you were always a flop away, because the amount of money required. So seeing them come back now, nearly 20 years later, it was a real feel-good story. It's the same founders as well, Steve Ellis, Dave Doak, you know, reforming the studio with the same name in the same place, and they're going to revive this FPS series. I was always a little bit dubious about how, you know, commercially successful a Time Splitters revival could be, but maybe if they lent more into kind of a Fortnite-y style angle, it could be a bit more broad appeal. I don't know, but yeah. So, but they've been working on the game. Word on the street is that it was looking really good behind the scenes, and you know, a bunch of people reached out to me this week and kind of indicated that my original fears that they were part of that evaluation or are part of that. I mean, it's important to note that no one's commented. PlayOn, Embracer, Free Radical have not responded to any of my requests for comment. And UK law requires that they're consulted for at least 30 days, including finding solutions. I mean, me and Chris know what that's like, because when they closed CVG, they did the same thing to us. Yeah. And they're legally required to go, oh, let's help see if we can solve this. But in the background, you sense that they're really not interested in doing that. They're going to close you. You're being humoured because it's the law. Like, let's see who can buy you, blah, blah. But that's why I think this story's come out. I think that there's, you know, it's in their interest for it to be known, right, that this is happening. If there's still even a slim chance that someone might swoop in and go, you know, we'll have that. I mean, as I noted in the story, though, I mean, I kind of did some LinkedIn crawling, and there was like at least 15 people, Free Radical employees, put up job ads or call outs for work just yesterday. So, you know, it doesn't look great.
No. Chris, that's Embracer. Things been a mess, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's I mean, having never run a company of that size, obviously, you wonder, like, is it really, what kind of situation is it where one single deal, albeit a massive $2 billion deal, that goes under, and then suddenly your entire structure and your entire plan goes down the shitter, that you have to then like ditch so many of the things that you spent the last few years acquiring. It's like this company was acquiring and acquiring and acquiring like big things, not like wee things here or there. Like Square Enix's Western stuff, like Tomb Raider, it acquired, Lord of the Rings, it acquired. Like there had to be a point where they had to start making money off all the money it was spending. And you think, okay, well, in the future, that money's coming when you get Tomb Raider games out and your Lord of the Rings things. But they've obviously reached this point now where this $2 billion deal is, the alleged $2 billion deal is allegedly gone under. And it's just like, to see the carnage that's caused, it's just like, it's just so depressing to see. And it's like, especially, I was up for the Time Splitters. I've always loved Time Splitters. It was the first game to make me motion sick. but despite that, I still enjoyed it. And like, in my head, I had this idea of like the because of the whole what time splitters is that imagine like an online multiplayer game where the maps can be from completely different like time frames. Like you could have a map in like an Egyptian tomb and then suddenly a map in some cyberpunk. It had the potential for a wide range of really cool art styles that could consistently with DLC like consistently change. It's just such a shame. Like obviously the priority is it's a shame for the people who are losing their jobs yet again for the umpteenth millionth time this year. But then yeah, it's just like in an alternative universe, all these games are given a chance to come out and like we could even been enjoying some really cool stuff that people could still have jobs, but it's like we're not in that universe.
What a grim, grim year. We unfortunately have more grim news after the break, but also on the good side, we will tell you who has won our recent contest for a handheld history. See you in a minute.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we are back. Last week, we gave you the opportunity to win a copy of Handheld History from Lost and Cult. It was very weird just having my email blown up all week by people saying, PlayStation Vita, PlayStation Vita. But we have the winners. Congratulations to Alex Hansen, who picked the PlayStation Vita, which I agree, a banger of a handheld.
Which one of Hansen was that? Was that the middle one?
Yeah. He was the one that played the drums and it was playing his Vita at the same time. Complete vault fast, but Hansen did a collab with Busted on their most recent album. Like Hansen are still a going concern, so good news for the Hansen fans among us, Chris. Second winner is John Adams, not the former US president or presidential candidate, but a listener to this great podcast. Who picked the PSP. He says, boring, sure, but hopefully will go down well with your famously anti-Xbox website. God bless you. John, please email... Well, in fact, I'll reach out to you and get your addresses and send you some detritus in the post. But thanks again to the folks at Lost and Cult for providing those books and to everyone who took part.
Were you born when Hansen came out? Like when Umbop came
out. When they were birthed?
No, when Umbop was doing the rounds.
Umbop released it. I was 2 years old when Umbop was a
mildly depressing.
Yeah, so April 15th, 1997.
You didn't go through the whole period where everyone thought they were lassies until like they actually did interviews that turned out they weren't.
No, my version of that was, do you remember the band Tattoo?
Oh yeah, and everyone thought they were gay and they weren't. It was just a
were they gay? Were they sisters? That was always like it was a great time to be alive.
It's very much the White Stripes. Are they married? Are they brothers and sisters?
That Tattoo song, very good. Anyway, what's not very good?
What a segue.
Yeah, I know. Bungie tells Destiny fans, "We know we've lost your trust amid layoffs and delayed reports." Bungie has addressed its community for the first time since news earlier this week that it was laying off as many as 100 employees. It was confirmed that Bungie was the latest Sony Interactive Entertainment studio to be hit by the layoffs, with Bloomberg later claiming that roughly 8% of the studio's workforce was affected, and that the upcoming Destiny expansion, The Final Shape, as well as the Shooter Marathon, had been internally delayed. Now Bungie has said on its website that the week was one of its most difficult in our studio's history and acknowledged that it's lost a lot of players' trust. While it didn't confirm a delay to the final shape, it strongly emphasised the importance of the project, stating that it wants the expansion to be among the, quote, best games we've ever made. Quote, this has been one of the most difficult weeks in our studio's history as we've parted ways with people we respect and admire. We've spent this week supporting one another, including those who are at the studio, as well as friends and colleagues who no longer are. We want to acknowledge the feedback that, and the concerns you have about Lightfall in recent seasons, as well as your responses to the reveal of the final shape. We know that we have lost a lot of your trust. Destiny needs to surprise and delight. We haven't done this enough, and that is going to change. The statement continued, the path forward for us is clear. We need to make the final shape an unforgettable Destiny experience. It went on to talk about how desperate they are to get this final shape thing going, and really not pay much lip service to the amount of people they've just sacked off. But the company signed off by saying, in the weeks ahead, you'll be hearing more from us about what's next in the short-term horizon, beginning with Destiny's next season. Andy, you were a Destiny dad back in the day. You and a lot of people use Destiny as kind of a meeting social space, but it seems like that game has absolutely bled players in recent. What can they do to get people back?
Well, they could do some better onboarding. It's atrocious. I can speak firsthand for that, because I used to play Destiny probably 6 hours a day for 2-3 years. I mean, as I said, it came out right when they made us redundant, and right when I had my first kid. So it was perfect storm for me. So yeah, we literally had a Destiny dad's clan, and if we were raiding, if someone went AFK, everyone instinctively knew it's because their kid woke up. So you'd all go sit down next to them, wait for them to come back. Oh, yeah, sorry. But it's weird. Like, the Destiny 2 was a mistake, in my opinion. I don't know why. I mean, it's clearly an Activision thing, right? From an outdated business model where it's weird. Like, oh, you need to do a sequel. They haven't got World of Warcraft 2, have they? Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's completely unnecessary. All you're doing is splitting the player base and ultimately, from my point of view, giving us an out. Like, it's like, imagine if they invented heroin too. Right. Yeah. Right. We're discontinuing heroin. You're now, none of you are addicted to that game anymore because it doesn't exist. Like that drug. Do you want to come and do heroin too? No, thanks. I'm out. Yeah. And that was basically what happened to most of us. Like, we tried Destiny 2 and it's like, well, but I don't have any of my, I'm not invested in this anymore, right? All my guns are gone, all my skins are gone, you know, all my stuff from the first game, because you've done a clear cut. Mm-hmm. Like, you're giving me a real out. You're giving me an opportunity to go do something else in my life. Okay, I'm off. Yeah. And I don't think it was just quite as good either, like at launch. It wasn't as strong. And that's kind of where they're at. And like, anyway, coming back to my original point, I'm digressing. I have tried to go back one or two times, even to tell friends, like, because you play like Warzone and stuff, and then you know you get talking like, oh man, like, you guys should have been around for when Destiny was good. Destiny was good. Like, some of my favorite gaming memories are like playing Destiny with friends. So I've tried to go back, and then what happens is you get 50 million pop-ups. Oh, you've unlocked this, and oh, Crota's over here now, and the big witch of the space moon is here, and you've done this. What? Like, yeah. It's ridiculous. Go and try and play Destiny now. Like, you are flooded in inane messages, like, and UI elements telling you to go place and do stuff because you've missed all these expansions and story threads. It goes mental. It's like booting, like turning on your PC after 2 years, right? With like Skype and stuff running in the background. It's really bad. Like, and considering the amount of players they could probably get to come back if they just did, you know, the onboarding experience a bit better. But that's to give them some sympathy, Bungie, that's kind of what happens, right? When you've been running this kind of game for 10 years, within a console ecosystem as well, where they're constrained by memory and certain things that they can do. Obviously, they've had to like do the controversial thing of like taking off certain, like archiving certain content, things like that. Like, it's not like they're, you know, on PC, a PC game, solely PC game, where they don't have to worry about a lot of these problems. And it catches up with you, I guess, right? Where you're under pressure to keep delivering these big updates and keep feeding the monster. Eventually, you're going to run out of steam. Yeah, that's my feeling game-wise. But again, I think it's disgraceful that they're making redundancies. They've just been bought by Sony for, what, $3 billion, was it?
Yeah.
And that's without even mentioning the bonuses that they had attached employees staying X years after it, and they lose them if they get made laid off.
Yeah.
And these weren't just like all young employees they were laying off either. Like one of the guys they laid off, the composer, he worked on like the original Halo games.
Yeah, the Halo theme. He's
and his music is attached to all of these projects, it is so intertwined with my memories of them. I think it's a disgrace that they're making any redundancies.
Mm. Yeah,
the share thing was the thing that really made me go, "Oh, come on!" Because obviously we've been seeing redundancies all year, and it's not like you become desensitized to it, because every time it happens, you're still like, it's just another kind of another chip, like an already kind of absolutely destroyed industry. But then when you see like the share situation in Bungie, was like infuriating, because when Sony bought them, that was one of the kind of the billions that they spent, and a large chunk of that was supposed to be going to the staff, because they were going to be given shares, and the shares wouldn't become active until they stayed at Bungie for a set number of years. It was a kind of loyalty bonus, basically, that if you stay for Bungie for X number of years, these shares suddenly become active, and then you can basically cash in and make a chunk of change to stop people leaving the company when Sony bought them. And now, like, they're some of them are probably getting ready to kind of pass that threshold, and now suddenly they've been punted, and their loyalty bonus doesn't count anymore, even though they were perfectly loyal. Like they kept their side of the bargain. They stayed loyal. And now they don't get the loyalty bonus through no fault of their own. That's just a massive kick in the arse. It's upsetting, and it's infuriating, and it's like, where does Bungie, like, because Bungie's been annoying the fans for a couple of years now. Like, I don't play Destiny much, but I still remember when I think Destiny now, I think, did they not annoy people a couple of years ago? And I looked it up, and it was when the Witch Queen thing came out, and they said, oh, if you have to buy the season pass, you don't get the dungeons. You still need to buy the dungeons, and people are like, come on. And from that point on, they've like kind of been annoying the fan base time and time again. And
I mean, this is just another example, right? That really, game fans should be seeing this, that consolidation is almost never good for you, right? Mm-hmm. We want more independent, strong game companies. Swallowing all these kind of historical companies within platform holders hardly ever works out, right? We've got a long history going back 30, 40 years of EA buying up, all of these great developers, and then them soon not existing. Mm-hmm. Same with Activision, these big companies doing the same with Microsoft, right? Where's Lionhead? That's my feeling, right? That's my honest feeling. As someone who's been around for a while seeing this, I think Bungie won't be as good now that they're under Sony. I think Activision won't be as good. Blizzard maybe is a different scenario, because they've come from a situation where they were probably culturally, they weren't ever a great fit for Activision. And now they're probably going to be left to their own steam a little bit. But companies like, say, for example, Activision and Bungie thrived from being independent. They've got that fire underneath them where you need to hit a home run or you're out of business, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're that suddenly that fire is going to, it's such a cultural clash, right? Especially like you look at, Call of Duty, for example. I can't imagine what Call of Duty is going to be like in 10 years' time after being, molded and shaped by an environment where it's the biggest game of the year every year in the US. They have to come out. They have to hit. It's such a well-oiled machine that they pump those games out. What's going to happen when if they're like now, where it's like, oh, you don't have to bring one out next year. Do you want? Like, what's going to happen? What are we going to end up with that comes out of that huge change?
Yeah. And the the Bungie situation is kind of takes us back to what we were saying about GTA as well. Is like when you have so many mass redundancies like that, how much of the kind of identity of that studio remains? Like if the composer's gone and you imagine a lot of the key developers are gone, when Bungie make their next game, how much of it feels like a Bungie game? Because like if so many kind of key, I don't know, like if key personnel go over the years, that happens with every studio. But the at least studios kind of maintain some of their identity. If you get mass layoffs like that, the whole point of Destiny in the first place was, oh, the people who made Halo are now doing like a game that's available on every system now, and it's going to be online multiplayer and persistent and all that. And then Bungie 2 is more the same. By the time the next Bungie game comes out, how much of that will still feel like Halo, still feel like Destiny? When you chop off such a massive kind of part of the studio in one go like that, you risk chopping off a part of the kind of the structure that identifies that developer's games, and it kind of makes you worry what the next game that is going
to
feel like.
The content just starts to feel so cynical as well, doesn't it? Like when you're, I guess it's inevitable to some extent that when they're just, it's just like this machine churning, like following metrics, like just, you know, for what resonates and what equals more playtime and blah, blah, blah. And it felt like that, you know, towards the end of my time with Destiny as well, right? Like, oh, this content works, we'll pump out more of that and, you know, extend it out so that you play for longer and corporate gaming.
Yeah.
The onboarding thing is, isn't it? That's like a lot of service games struggle with that as well. It's like, if you're not, if you're not there on day one, you're already starting an uphill battle. Like I feel for anyone who starts a FIFA game or an EA Sports FC game when it gets added to EA Play and they come on and go, oh, let's try this Ultimate Team and everyone's already better. Like this Disney Speedstorm, which I still play for my sins because the kid loves to watch me play it. Well, it just went free to play like a couple of weeks ago. And everyone who's coming on free to play is going, what's going on here? It's like it's on like season 5 and everyone's shit hot at it. And they're like, well, we can't play this because all the kind of daily missions and stuff and all these challenges need you to be a certain level that they can't reach yet. It's physically impossible for them to compete. And there's like rank and multiplayer races where like whoever sets the top 3,000 players to set the best time get the best rewards. And obviously people who've been there from day one have all the best carts and get all the best rewards. And all the people who have just come in have like, well, we can't make traction here because we're not winning the stuff. And a lot of kind of service games and free to play games have that issue where if you're not there on day one and you didn't know about it right away, it's so hard to get involved now because it's just like you're always playing catch up and it's not an even playing field. And that's why I'll never play Destiny 2 now. Like I've got no chance.
Yeah, there was an element of that as well going in, and you're like playing all the noob stuff.
Yeah,
and everyone else is like raiding with super guns and super armor,
which is why I'm looking forward to Final Fantasy thingy. Was it 12? I always get them mixed up. The online one.
14's the online one.
Yeah, it's coming to Xbox, and it's like I was worried about that, but now they've patched it so you can play through it in single player. I'm like, fine, brilliant. I'll try that because I was worried that I was going to be so far behind everyone else. But now I'll be able to just play it at my own pace. And
can't you already play that game in single player? Like, you don't have to play with people. So what you're saying is you don't want anyone else walking past you.
I just don't want anyone in my games. I want every game.
It's just some other guys just wandering around.
I want every game to be 28 days later of the game.
Have you turned off the online in Mario Wonder?
When I start it, I will.
that is weird.
Sealed. Still sealed, but... Well, nice. As soon as the book's done, that's my reward, cracking it open. Yeah, I'm being strict about it.
Speaking of games you should really play, Chris, before Mario Wonder, play a real banger like Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. The single player is out now. You could probably finish it in the time it takes me to finish this sentence. So here's the situation with Modern Warfare 3's single player. We know, basically, that it was originally envisioned as an expansion for Modern Warfare 2, and as such, the single player largely takes place on repurposed Warzone maps, so you are quite literally running through areas that I have run through screaming at Andy millions of times. Like, you're in the stadium, you're in other parts of the old Verdansk map, and it just screams of, we have these assets, we have to make this a single player game. So let's get it going.
I mean, I guess that's somewhat of a counterpoint to my argument of them thriving within the capitalist system, right? That they have literally turned DLC into a box release to pump it out. But I suspect, without being much of an expert, I'll get slaughtered for saying this, but...
Go for it.
Well, see, they've not done it previously, have they? They've not gone, you know, and kind of blatantly turned DLC into a release. They put out lackluster, like kind of half-cooked ones, like, you know, Cold War, which, you know, was, but that was born allegedly from development troubles, right? Changing studios and stuff like that. But the fact that it was reported, I don't know if it was earlier this year or last year, by Bloomberg, that there would be no Call of Duty this year. Mm. And then suddenly there was. I don't know if someone smarter than me might be able to explain whether that's something to do with the Activision deal, like the Microsoft deal closing, and or we need to keep the share price up before that closes.
I was thinking something.
I suspect there might, I know that sounds properly like me backtracking.
No, but I've always kind of, obviously I've never like make that claim because, but I've always wondered something similar with the uncertainty with the acquisition and how long it took. Was there some sort of kind of, was this like a kind of just a stopgap until until they know
even like covering their arse in case it fell apart, which it looked like at times that it really could.
Because for all they would have known when they started on it, but for all they would have known, Microsoft could have suddenly been the publisher halfway through development, and a lot of stuff might have changed at that point. So the feeling I got was that it was like it was a cautious kind of release just to, because they didn't really know what was going on at that time. Again, that's just guesswork.
It's terrible. There's about two missions in it that feel like a proper Call of Duty mission where you're doing like the bombast, the kind of blockbuster stuff that you'd see in a trailer, but the rest of it is they have these open combat missions. So you drop into like the docks in Warzone and it'll be like, you have to go and press square at these three things and there's mindless AI running towards you, and all over the map there are like orange Warzone chests that you can go and get and like change your weapons. And the idea of like non-linear missions in Call of Duty is interesting, I suppose, but the way it's executed is it feels like they had the idea about 3 months ago and they're like, okay, let's... It feels like something that if Call of Duty offered like a mission creator, like a user-generated mission creator, it's exactly like that.
It sounds like those like shit old Battlefield games where they just like, you know, repurpose multiplayer maps into, you know, like a half-baked single player thing, right? It just it really sounds totally unappealing. It's unlike them as well. I know, again, they have had half-baked campaigns before, but Cold War's campaign was really good. It was really small, but it was really good. That was Raven, right? It was excellent. It still had all of the bombast and the set pieces and stuff like that you expect from Call of Duty. I can't remember them doing something so blatantly patched up as this before.
It's almost as if they just shouldn't have had one at all.
DLC. I mean, all of the maps are retro maps, right?
Yeah.
It's a map pack.
It's like they released they didn't have a campaign.
Treyarch can make a zombies mode at a phone call. That seems to be the go-to thing. Treyarch, we need another zombies mode, mate. Shit. Get the guys in and they bash it out. I mean, to be clear, I think Call of Duty does need to move to a two-year cycle anyway, right? But that's what it looks like Activision were doing anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of I know the Call of Duty community moan a lot anyway, but certainly it has been quite toxic for the last couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all chasing the pandemic, you know, nostalgia of Verdansk.
The next one has to be shit hot because otherwise it's going to be an...
They're going to reboot Modern Warfare again.
Saddest thing for me about this is they've tarnished the Modern Warfare name.
Yeah.
They could have pumped that. I mean, it's not like they've not made up a Black Ops sub-brand, you know, like Cold War was. Mm. It's Modern Warfare. It's their premier brand, right? The one that guarantees class every time. From Infinity Ward, their number one developer. Yeah. And they've pumped it out. So now, what are they doing? Modern Warfare 4?
They can no longer evoke the best multiplayer shooter of all time, basically.
It's a complete cash grab.
Yeah. But don't worry, they've updated the Call of Duty HQ menu, which I have running in the side here, waiting for it to unlock multiplayer. So now they've split up Modern Warfare 2, Warzone, and Modern Warfare 3. And while your Modern Warfare 2 guns will come into Modern Warfare 3, they're not eligible for any of the new camo. The camo that you can earn on Modern Warfare 3 guns doesn't work back the way.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
And this is another, like, it's going back to the onboarding thing. I don't play Call of Duty anyway because we've already established I hate the human race. But like, if I ever was to start playing it, I wouldn't even know where to begin. It seems impossible for me to just start this new Modern Warfare and go, right, what do I do? Like, and even dream that I'm on an even footing with everyone else because it just doesn't sound like it at all.
Yeah, it is not great. I hope the multiplayer is good, but God, it's really grim. The review in progress is on the website. We'll get a full review done over the next couple of days, but God. Chris, very quickly, you played anything good this week?
Not this week. Last week I played RoboCop, obviously, which I loved, and WarioWare, which not so much. This week, just for a laugh, I've been playing DreamWorks All-Star Kart Racing, which is pish. It's got the worst voice acting I've ever heard in the game. It's like,
a full review and 50 guides on the site, then?
You will absolutely not get that. But it's like, which is a shame. I'm glad to see, on Twitter, I'm glad to see a lot of people talking about RoboCop. I'm assuming it's selling quite well. Which I think it does. It cool. It deserves it. It's proper old school, no messing about. It's like the
every time I see it on Twitter, it looks like Fallout 3 because of the UI.
Yeah, like, it feels like the antidote to a lot of stuff that's doing the rounds just now. It's just like it's dumb, stupid. Like you literally just walk in to like a sea of people shooting at you and just soak up all the bullets and just like people just explode as you shoot them. It's just stupid, dumb fun. I love that game.
I have quite literally never seen a RoboCop film, but I have seen his involvement in WCW.
Oh, man.
So.
Yeah, but you don't like films, do you? You're
no,
weirdo.
I don't hate films.
Just work with
they're so
one,
boring.
I work with one guy who doesn't want to see anyone else in his games, and another guy who doesn't like films. That's like a Michael Owen caliber weirdness.
Hashtag hate films. This is the kind of people you attract, though. You want people that will sit at their desks for 50 hours a day just grinding out games.
Just to clarify my stance here online. Like, do you like
watching films with other people?
Occasionally. I could do without it. I like the idea of an online multiplayer game. The problem is the way this job works is that I play a game and then I forget about it and move on to the next one. I'd never stick with a series long enough that I'm as good as the people I'm playing against, and that frustrates me. FIFA's the exception. That's the only game I play online because I feel like I can compete. Anything else, I won't play a Call of Duty now because I'm so far, I'm so much worse than Call of Duty people who play it for 8 hours a day and have done for decades. I can't compete with them. I can't compete with Fortnite players. I can't compete with, because I'm so used to playing something for 20 hours and moving on to the next one, then the next one, the next one. So yeah, it's a non-starter for me because I just, I'm always worst on the battlefield, and that's why. So I'm not against online multiplayer. I just don't want
to. So what you're saying is you're just not good at video games.
I'm just saying I'm good. I'm very good at a wide spectrum of games, but I'm not excellent at any of them.
Okay.
Except for FIFA and the occasional Nintendo game.
Anyway, let's get out of here before this diverges into a real mess. I'm going to go and play some what's the name of the airport terminal, the terminal map that you saw from all the trick shot videos back in the day. I'm going to go and play that for the rest of my natural life. Next week, what have we got next week? Here's a real aside, that Avatar game's out this year. That Avatar game's out in December.
Yeah, it's coming in hot, I think.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought that was like, oh, that's in March, isn't it?
No.
Someone asked me the other day if I had a code for it. I was like, what are you talking about?
Adamant that it's still going to be this year, which is interesting.
Does Ubi have earnings between now and then? Or have they already went? Because that feels like an maybe we get a Twitter JPEG being like, let's just chuck this to February. But I could not believe that. That's
we'll see. I think it might surprise some people. I think it could be okay.
I'm choking to play it. I need to know. So
yeah,
looks like a decent 7 out of 10.
Yeah,
I'm into it, to be honest.
Yeah, look, we all know how the Far Cry games went. We'll just have to wait and see. If you've got any questions, comments, or concerns, you can send them to podcast@videogameschronicle.com. Thank you for listening. You can follow myself on X at Jordan Midler, Chris at Scully, Ethan ETA, Andy at Andy V underscore VGC. We'd like to thank the great Grant Kirkhope for the VGC podcast theme song. Say goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye, Chris.
Say goodbye, Andy.
Goodbye.
And we'll see you next week.
VGC, a video games podcast, is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creative Network.